Call the meeting to order for the Town of Montville Public Safety Commission, regular meeting, March 24th, 2025. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Perkins?
Here.
Commissioner Stewart?
Here.
Commissioner Bauer is absent. Commissioner Murphy is absent. Commissioner Baker?
Here.
Commissioner Callahan is absent. Commissioner Gillette?
Ma'am.
We have a quorum, so we shall continue. Any alterations to the agenda? Any alterations to the agenda? The only modification that I know of is to item 13B should be reflected as the old or the existing M37. I want to make that a motion.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay, so item 13B will be existing rescue truck. Special recognitions or presentations? We have any communications, copies of monthly statistic reports for fire departments, fire marshal, police, animal control, building official.
We're missing a couple from the fire departments.
You should be missing one.
Yeah, Montville.
Montville,
yeah.
Fire.
Okay.
Other than that, should be all set. To consider an act on a motion to approve minutes of the regular meeting minutes of February 24th, 2025. Motion?
Motion.
A second?
Second.
Any corrections, changes, additions to the minutes? All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed? Passes. Remarks from the public, agenda items only, 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public, agenda item only, 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public, agenda items only, 3-minute limit. Thank you. Remarks from department heads. Lieutenant Radford.
Dave Radford, Lieutenant Montville Police. We'll start off with our monthly animal control statistics. Town of Montville activity report for the month of February. We had 9 animals impounded for a total of 79 year to date. Number of animals sold as pets was 4, 23 year to date. Number of animals DOA was 1, the total of 3 year to date. Number of animals euthanized was 1. Total animal for the year was 3. Total complaints investigated was 61, 463 year to date. We had total enforcement actions were 2, 13 year to date. Total other calls of service were 50 for 456 year to date. Salem monthly report for February. We had 5 total complaints investigated for 29 year to date, and 1 animal bite investigated for 5 year to date. Other than that, just a brief update on the animal control facility. General construction has begun. There'll be an official groundbreaking ceremony this Saturday, the 29th, at 11 a.m. at the site. As far as the dispatch radio upgrades, I met with Steve this morning. They have all the radios are installed. They just need to complete some programming and the upgraded dispatch on our end will be completed. They said it should be within a week or so. Dispatch will be up to par. We have, I just want to make mention, we have police officer candidate interviews tomorrow, and I want to thank Commissioner Gillette and Stewart, who will be assisting with those interviews tomorrow for us. And I need to end on a positive correspondence for Chief Blanchett, Lieutenant Radford, Sergeant Sumpf, Detective Noyce, Officer Fizzino, Officer Lalamere, and Officer Smith. We received an email on February 25th. I would like to express to you my sincere gratification and appreciation regarding your service and the handling of our situation by the team of officers that responded to a motorcycle accident involving a great friend today. While on a small group ride, one of our riders went down on Route 82 at approximately 2:45 p.m. today. All the officers were calming, extremely understanding of our situation, professional, and very respectful. I appreciate your allowing me to take the time to return to my home, hook up my trailer, and return to retrieve the damaged bike. I realize you are in your rights to deny this request and hail a tow company. You and the other officers showed great concern for us all and made a possible tough situation as comfortable as possible. As a member of Back the Blue Sect Riding Club, this is precisely the reason in which we put in the efforts of support. I thank you and am sure all riders involved appreciate your professionalism and community service. Please pass on this appreciation to the other officers that arrived, all very courteous and helpful. Many thanks, sir, Michael Zito. That's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Do you have any questions for Lieutenant?
Thank you very much.
Paul Barnes, Fire Marshal. Activity report for the Fire Marshal's Office for the month of February. We had 29 business and apartment inspections. We had one fire investigation. Deputy Fire Marshal responded to one incident, a broken sprinkler pipe at Home Depot. Myself, I responded to two, the broken sprinkler pipe at Home Depot and one fire alarm. We issued two burn permits and we had no new business inspections. Spent a total of 8 hours during the month of February on emergency management obligations. The amendment to the local emergency medical services plan that I handed you has some incorrect information on it, so I'm not gonna read the rest of it. One item just needs to be corrected with that. I also sent an email correspondence to the Public Safety Commission expressing the Fire Marshal's interest in the old M37 for an investigation vehicle. I can speak on that when the agenda item comes up.
Can I just ask, can I ask him a question now? Or just wait?
If it's that item, wait till 13B comes up.
No, I just had one on the EMS plan. I was going to ask you if you've talked to all the chiefs about this and they...
They gave me the information.
They gave you the information?
The only thing I personally did was the staffing and coverage. I updated that. It was still the old staffing. I updated it all to the new staffing regime.
If I could just add that the incorrect information that you have is my fault. I didn't proofread it properly, and I will get the revised revision to Fire Marshal, and we'll get it squared away.
So I guess one real quick question is, you mentioned, I believe offline, that OEMS has already looked at this and approved it?
Correct.
So?
Not that revision.
Huh?
Not that revision.
No, they approved the corrected information. What was given to me, there's just the one item, the response under the medical oversight. The time is off.
Okay.
That's it. So we just have to correct the time.
What's it supposed to be?
We believe it's 22 minutes, not 10 minutes.
Okay.
So that's the only thing that didn't get updated.
They're good.
I do have a question when we get to 13B.
Yeah, okay, if it's on that item.
I'm sorry?
If it's related to that item, we'll wait till 13B.
No, I understand that, but it's not a 3-minute. conversation if he gets brought up here, is it?
No.
Thank you. But then I can wait.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Any other department heads wishing to speak? Committee and liaison reports. Report from the fire department. Commissioner Perkins.
So you all received the three firehouse incident reports for February that I sent. I have not received Montville's. I did receive the fire activity for February 1st through the 28th. We had 271 calls. 42 were fire. Out of the 42, two of them were assist out of town. At 229 ambulance medical. Out of 229 calls, four were assist out of town, two were assist from out of town. Out of that was 15 lift assists. Just going over the out between the hours of 6 p.m. and midnight, there were 67 calls. That's all I have right now.
Okay.
I think I asked this last month, Karen. Could you send this out to us ahead of time, that report?
And is that something that the commission can get that report from dispatch, and is that going to go into record? That fire activity report, and I mean by that is because it's got personal personal information on it.
That could be forwarded, yes.
And then if it gets forwarded, would it be going into? I know everything is FOI in this town.
It would go into the record, yes.
Well, that means now you're displaying that.
Well, it depends on what you consider personal information.
No personal information.
When you say personal information.
I'm sorry. I think transporting, medical, this, that.
Let's let the chief and the lieutenant answer that question then.
Good evening. Bill Blanchett, chief. Any of the information that's on those sheets that you get shouldn't violate HIPAA. Shouldn't be any personal identifying information on those sheets. So it would be, if somebody requested it, it would be FOIable regardless. So
Chief, if that's something that if we, as members of the Public Safety Commission, gave you our email addresses, you could send that out to us?
Not me directly, but I can have it done.
Well, yeah. Whoever's responsible for it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Make it part of your monthly dump. On all the reports. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I do suggest on those reports, if I'm going to report it, I don't want to hear three other reports on it after me. If there's anybody who has anything to say, if you could bring it to my attention before the meeting and I'll report it. Because then why should I report it if everybody up here is going to report something?
What I'm asking for, Karen, is obviously the long report, but you break it down.
I understand.
And categorize it. Could you send that categorization out that you do to us ahead of the meeting time so we have it? Like we get fire marshal report, fire companies reports, all that stuff. Just that little breakdown you gave us, that's all I'm looking for from you.
Oh, okay.
That little breakdown.
I'm so sorry. I thought you wanted everything and I just felt
no, no,
bad,
no.
But he already
no, because
said
the
it.
Police chief already the police chief already so, said if we give him his email, our email addresses, he'll add ours to the distribution list.
And I guess what I'm saying is when I give my report,
mm-hmm.
And then it goes to someone else. I don't, if someone's going to keep bringing up, well, this report, I'm already reporting on it. I just ask for the respect to come to me before the meeting if there's something you want me to report on it. As far as I know, I'm still fire liaison.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm just asking for that breakdown ahead of time. That's all. That's all.
Yep.
Report from animal control. Mr. Callahan's not here, and Lieutenant Radford provided us information on the animal control facility and the reports, so I think we're good there. Report from Police Department Liaison, Commissioner Gillette.
Total calls for service were 923. Total infractions were 38. Misdemeanors were 9. Written warnings were 148. Total citations were 195. That's all I have.
Thank you. Report from Building Department, me. For February, there were 62 permits issued, 85 permits pending, inspections 71, active blight 277, and blight abated to date 547. I believe, Commissioner Gillette, you asked me if there were a lot more pending ones. Or I didn't get a chance to check with them. I will check with them before our next meeting. Remarks from fire chiefs.
Keith Trex, Chief of the Chesterfield Fire Company. A couple issues to address. One, our new rescue truck is currently scheduled to deliver at the end of June for us to go down there and do the final inspection and then drive it back. We don't have an exact date. They're just saying we are the last truck that they will complete in June. So we are getting it quickly. And that's because they had the chassis, so once the contract was signed, they were able to just start building. The other thing I'd like to address is new career staff training. I know I've said it before, we're in the process of starting up with the new career firefighter. Chris Dennis just started today. But I think the way we're doing the training is lacking. Right now, he comes in 7 o'clock in the morning, stays till 3:24, I think it is, in the afternoon. So that means on the west side, he'll normally be up at Oakdale all day long. If they get calls, he gets to go. When they come down to Chesterfield, that means they're going to shift and not be in compliance with the way we do career staff at Oakdale during the day and Chesterfield in the evening. I think a better way to do this would be just assign the person to a 24-hour shift, put them on with a crew, a very experienced crew, and let him do 24-hour shifts and get the experience that way. Then he'll be at Oakdale during the day, Chesterfield at night. Unfortunately, with the way things are set up on the east side of town, when he goes to the east side of town, he's just going to be at Mohegan. But that's the way it's currently set up over there. But I think having the new people just go right into a 24-hour shift, which is what they would be working anyhow, get them used to it. Hey, this is what you're doing. And just having them train with some of our more senior firefighters. I know right now we're saying, well, this way they work with all of them, but there can be drawbacks to that. I still think the better way is go to a 24-hour shift, let them split between the two departments all day long, and they have a better chance of actually getting calls being on for 24 hours instead of just during the day. You know, we are still pretty much a bedroom community.
Do you know how long they're on, from 7 to 3:30 or 3:20?
It's from 7 to, I believe it's 3:20.
No, how long? A month.
A month, Paul?
8 weeks.
8 weeks?
And that's contractual.
Right, but I believe they're about to go into negotiations. So the better way to do this, rather than, and what we saw the last two guys was, they did the 8 weeks, and then when they got on an actual shift, that's when the majority of their training truly happened. So let's just put them on a 24-hour shift and, you know, not waste the 8 weeks.
Is that you, the mayor, that addressed that, or is that the union?
I'll discuss that with the fire marshal to come up with a more beneficial schedule.
And, I mean, if I just may, to respond to your statement there, I know that we as a interview committee have been very picky about who we've been putting through. And this last gentleman, Mr. Dennis, I know he's got a lot of experience, fire-wise and EMS. So I would think that, given that experience, we should be able to get him online pretty quickly and assigned to a shift with somebody else.
Yeah, his what I believe his longest thing that's going to take is learning the area roads, because he's not from this part of the state. So he's never transported to L&M. He's never transported to Bacchus. He's done a whole lot of transports from what I've heard. And, you know, I've seen his all of his training. So you're right. He should be able to pick up really quickly. I think the only thing that's going to slow him down is learning the area roads, and he can do that pretty quickly, I would think.
I would think if he's with a partner, that person would probably drive more than he would up front or giving him direction where to go. So you're right. But I would think he should be up and going pretty quickly based on what we saw.
But that contract says, it says 8 weeks, whether he was a lateral or not.
Right. It, right now, I believe it just says they get 8 weeks of the, what is it, 8.4 hours a day, Monday through Friday.
Correct.
Well, one of the other considerations, obviously, is the fact that he's going to be working instead of 8 hours, 8.4 hours versus 24 hours is funding. So I think the mayor is right. He'll talk to the fire marshal and see where we can go from there. Not to say that it's not a bad idea, but you'd have to work out a schedule there too, just so that he gets the wide range, the various firefighters that are on duty. So.
And equipment as well. I mean, obviously, it's he already is qualified on apparatus from where he came from. So it's just knowing our vehicles and a pump's a pump and whatever. So should be fairly quickly.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Chief Suarez. Good evening.
Chief Suarez, Mohegan Fire Company. I just wanted to bring up a letter that I wrote back in October and tail end of October and gave it to the committee here, the commission. Just wondering, you know, it's been just about 5 months and haven't heard much from Public Safety Commission about it. A couple of people reached out to me. I was just wondering if anybody had any thoughts or ideas on how we can move forward with, you know, maybe getting some of this, you know, if at the very least some ideas from the commission on how volunteer departments can move forward and try to help with some recruitment. Our biggest issue right now is recruitment. I don't have the manpower or personnel to sustain much longer, to be honest. The few of us that are there really wanted to, you know, to work out and stay here forever, but, you know, it's not working that way. And I was just wondering if you guys, you know, it's been about 5 months. I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts, or not that we need to voice them all here tonight, you know, just, you know, set up, you know, if you're willing to sit down and, you know, have a meeting, I can make myself available just about any evening. I can free up time during the work day if needed. You know, my schedule is pretty flexible there. And that's all I got.
How many active members do you have? If you don't mind me asking.
I would say less than 10. That are truly active.
And by active, I mean going on calls.
I mean, I got 20-something on the roster, but if they're not coming out, they're not doing me any good.
So,
and a lot of them, I mean, they've done their time. A lot of the people on our roster, they're 60 and 70 years old. I don't expect them to be going to every car accident and every fire, every ambulance call, you know. You know, they've done their time, but they're trying to help as much as they can when they can.
So I'm reading the times at 6 o'clock at night to midnight. We all volunteer. We volunteer here.
Yep.
Figured if you're working during the day, you come home, you eat dinner. Maybe you can give some time between 6 and midnight or 6 and 10. I don't know what time anybody goes to bed. Do you have a sign up? Does Mohegan have some type of sign up sheet saying, okay, Karen and Matt, can you guys do Monday 6 to 10? Absolutely. So now we can count on?
We had tried that a few times. and I started to notice that myself and one other person's names were all over that sign-up sheet, and there really wasn't anybody offering to do it. You know, and I, you know, we all understand people have lives. You know, they have, you know, but you know, I just, I don't know. I really want to keep it going. I just, you know, looking for some advice from them.
I want you guys to keep going.
So that's all I got.
Thank you.
Do we want to put that on the agenda for next month?
Yeah, probably. Let me think about it. I'll make sure Gloria gets the information.
Is that good, Matt? Goes on the agenda for next month?
Maybe.
All right. Another chief here. Unfinished business. 12A, consider an act on a motion to approve a policy to systemize and retain firefighter data to observe trends and effectiveness. Anything on that?
Let me just add to that. I know that the chiefs are still considering what program they're going to use to replace the
EMS charts.
EMS charts, is that what it was? Yeah. So they're still deliberating that.
Keith, can I ask you what the issue is?
So there's no issue. It's more going out, looking at, okay, these are the available options. This is what they're capable of doing, and this is how much they cost. Again, I'm pretty sure that we're most likely in the end going to ESO, but you know, if one of these other programs that we haven't looked at yet goes, yep, we're able to do all of this and can actually demonstrate that they can really do everything and they're significantly cheaper, then it would be a disservice to not go that way and, you know, and pay the excess. But I'm not very confident that's going to happen, and I think there's more than an 80% chance that in the end we'll be signing up for ESO. But we got to do all our due diligence, do the homework. Chief Turner and Chief Messer are going to FDIC, and they're going to look at the stuff while they're there and actually meet with the vendors.
When is that trip?
I think it's next month.
Okay. April. No, first part of April, first
couple weeks. Right, that's next month, yeah. Mm-hmm. Couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, thank you.
So, yeah, I have one real quick question. So EMS charts, when does our contract with them expire as far as the...
Oh, the contract still has 3 or 4 years on it.
Well, the...
But...
Right, I understand.
We are sunsetting the fire reports in December, so we will be shifted over before December.
Okay, Chief Suarez.
I just wanted to say that not every department is on a long-term contract.
But we did, at Mohegan, we've been just doing it year by year, so we're not under any obligation to stay with them. Ours will be easy to. There was no cost savings for us to do a 5-year contract versus a 1-year contract, so we've just been doing it year by year because they weren't offering any savings.
So you're in the same, you all four of you meet regarding this?
Oh, we've all spoken about it, yeah. I mean, I personally would go to ESO tomorrow, but, you know, we want all four departments to be on the same, you know, so it's easier.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Fire company radio system upgrades. Any update on that?
Lieutenant Radford gave an upgrade on that during his report.
It's about 2 more weeks. Of course, they've been saying that every month.
Okay. New business. Item A, to consider an act on a motion to approve the FY 2025-2026 Fire Department Capital Improvement Plan. This was tabled from last month so we could make some changes, have some changes made to the plan. Commissioner Baker, you have any update on that?
I sent a I sent it out to everybody a couple weeks ago, the updated plan for their review, so I guess all we have to do is just approve it tonight. And all the revisions that were made to it.
Okay, motion? Have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the FY25-26 Fire Department Capital Improvement Plan, Fire Company Capital Improvement Plan.
Can you add the dollar amount into that?
Sir?
Can you add the amount into that?
No, it's all, I'll send you the spreadsheet. I probably forgot.
Isn't there a total?
There really is no total to it. Go ahead.
It's not in the same format as the other capital improvement plans. It's all the apparatus, and each year something comes up, it denotes how much we're going to be requesting to spend in that year.
I'm just saying for 2025-26.
In 2025-26, $2 million.
Could you add that to the motion?
Yep.
We'll amend the motion to add that we approve this year's capital improvement plan for the fire companies in the amount of $2 million.
For 2025?
FY 25-26. And what we've got, well, the plan actually, it's a.
We're just talking the 1 year.
Okay.
Just this year.
All right.
Got it? Not yet. Do I have a second? Karen? Mickey?
Anybody?
One more time. Do we have a second on this motion to approve the capital plan for 25-26 in the amount of $2 million? I guess fails. No second?
Okay.
There will be no money spent for the new ladder truck in 25-26. All right. Item 13B, to consider an act on a motion to approve the disposal of rescue truck M37. I sent this out to commissioners on what the rescue truck is going to be left at, taking off all the equipment. I assume everybody has a list of all that. I have it here somewhere. The truck is a 1997 Freightliner, weight GVWR, 31,000 pounds. It's got about 18,000 miles on it, and there's a number of items on here that are going to be kept. There's a number of items on here that are going to be removed and sold individually or repurposed. One in particular is the light tower on the top of the body, which is, I'm told, maybe put on the rescue truck at Mohegan that's having some issues. So other than that, and all the loose equipment, we have an appraisal from one of the members at Chesterfield who does this for a living, and he estimates the cash value of this the way it's going to wind up at $20,491.67. That isn't to say that's what we would like to get for it. It is, but that's, in a perfect world, that I guess would be the figure we'd be looking for. Really tonight, I think I just wanted to put it on the agenda to make people aware of the fact that we're getting rid of it and how we want to get rid of it. It's not going to be available till probably the end of July. I've heard some rumors about people outside of the town wanting it. I've heard of some ideas in town of people wanting it. In particular, the fire marshal has sent us a letter of interest in taking it and using it in support of fire marshal emergency management type duties. So that would obviously not bring us any more money into the town coffers, but if it's needed, it's needed. And so, discussions. Not really looking for a motion tonight.
Can I ask Paul, the fire marshal, to come up to explain?
Yep.
Please.
Paul Barnes, fire marshal. The reason the fire marshal's office is interested in this vehicle is the fact that right now, myself and my deputy carry our tools in our vehicles. Normally, when we have a nighttime fire that requires an investigation, I require either an engine or a rescue truck with personnel to stand by on scene for the duration of our investigation, which could take anywhere from an hour to 7 hours. It takes apparatus out of service, committed to me. It takes personnel out of service, unavailable to respond anywhere else in town. This vehicle would serve our purposes not only as a fire marshal investigation vehicle, but as an emergency management vehicle. I have items in my office which are shelter items. They're bags that we take to the shelter for resident sign-in. There's kits in there for people who come to the shelters. This could be kept on this vehicle. I won't have to come back here, put them in my vehicle, and then go to the shelter. This vehicle could go to the shelter. As far as the investigation side of it goes, even if the light tower does not come with it, it has an onboard generator. It's got tripod lights we can set up in the house, outside the house, or wherever we're doing our investigation, and it frees up the fire departments. Once the fire's out and there's no other threat for fire, they can be released. The fire marshal's office will take over the scene with our investigation vehicle, and we'll be self-sufficient. The only time at that point we would need to call in the state fire marshal would be if it's a fatality or if it's an arson. We would carry evidence collection items on this vehicle, tools, gear, scene tape. Everything that I would need could be taken out of my vehicle and put in this vehicle. I've already spoken to the deputy fire marshal. We've already devised a plan. If we do get this vehicle, how we would operate it.
Are you getting, so the vehicle you have now doesn't support all of this equipment?
The tools that we have right now, they're very limited to what we can carry and what we have. The deputy should not be carrying any tools in his vehicle because it's not a separated compartment. He shouldn't even be carrying his gear in there because it's not a separated compartment. However, the amount of tools that we need are various. I don't have pike poles. I don't have drywall poles. I don't have certain rakes because I can't carry them. If we had that, we could carry them on this truck.
So right now, if something happened yesterday, the firefighters will be at the scene. You guys would be there to investigate. Those firefighters have to stay with that apparatus until you're finished investigating.
If I need lights or power for whatever reason, yes.
Or the tools.
Or the
or
tools.
Anything like that. So correct. They would hold those tools that you just mentioned that you said you cannot hold in your truck. They automatically have them on the...
They have pike poles on the engines. They have sheetrock tools, everything I would need.
Are you... So I believe, is there, Brian, a notice of adoption, an ordinance in order for us to keep these equipments or keep the vehicles? I'm bringing you into the conversation.
let me open this up. I need to apologize for this, but I got to find where
I wasn't throwing you. I was bringing you in because you mentioned.
Can I see that for a minute? Which?
And if it's a town.
Which, yeah, I gave the.
And if it's a town.
Ordinance.
Apparatus.
Yeah, I've got it here from.
Didn't the town decide where it goes with it?
Go ahead.
Or where it goes?
I was asking that it come before the public safety for a recommendation because the decision is between the finance director and myself.
That's okay. So you, now I understand, okay.
That's why I just gave everybody a copy of what the ordinance says so you understand what it says and who has the authority to make the final decision about if we dispose of it, how it's disposed of.
I didn't know if you wanted to bring that up.
A real quick question. Is there anything in NFPA that dictates this type of vehicle being used?
There's nothing in NFPA or any investigation. It's not a requirement to have a vehicle. This would help us out tremendously on both the fire marshal side and the emergency management side.
Well, I got you there, Paul, Chief, just before you let go. I know that during our budget deliberations, you had mentioned that you're in for two new vehicles this year.
Correct.
And they were two crew cab pickups with either a cap, I think you said, or a weatherproof bed cover, tonneau cover, whatever. It's weatherproof with a sliding tray that you said you'd be able to store all this equipment in.
Correct.
So I guess my question is, if you were going to have a vehicle like this, you really wouldn't need something like those pickup trucks.
I wouldn't need the pickups. I would take like Explorers, like the police have, because I'd have a truck to carry all my tools in and all the dirty stuff in.
You need a vehicle anyway.
We both need vehicles
So that has nothing to do with the fire truck.
But it's the type of vehicle that we need. Like if the fire marshal's office does not acquire the old M37, I'm going to require pickup trucks because we have to keep the dirty tools separate from the patient compartment for cancer reasons. With that truck, there's nothing that needs to be separated. We keep our gear on it. We keep all of our dirty tools in it, our gloves, everything. The cars would be clean.
But the two new pickups, if you had the cap on the back, the rollout tray, like the bed full-size rollout tray like we talked about.
Correct.
Those two vehicles would serve the needs for everything you'd need.
For tools, yes. Not for generators or anything like that or tower lights.
You could carry a small portable 2,000-watt Honda generator in the back on that slide-out tray. Or the telelights, portable telelights that you set up. Or you could run cords in or whatever. I mean, it could be done.
It could be done. I'd prefer not to put fuel items with my turnout gear, but
Gear would probably be in your crew cab, I assume, in a bag or whatever.
My turnout gear is not going in my passenger compartment because of cancer reasons. I lost a very dear friend because of that.
Yeah. Well, if you were doing a fire investigation, would I be correct in assuming you would be laundering that gear when you were done with it?
Right. But where am I going to take it to? And how am I going to get it there?
Well, bagging it, whatever, yeah. And then put it in the back with your whatever bag. But I just want to make sure that biggest concern I have is we're going in for two new vehicles, and now this is going to be addition to it or in lieu of. The other suggestion that I might add is looking into possibly one pickup truck and one of those smaller transit vans with a separator in it. In lieu of the two pickups, a pickup and a transit van type setup where you could store stuff like that in the back.
So one of us, either myself or my deputy, would be driving around in an investigation transit van doing inspections.
They're not that big.
I understand that, but that's not logical for me.
Paul. I'm just looking at the
phone. The only thing I want to add to that, with the investigation van, and I'm not arguing for or against anything, you have to understand, anytime that you go to a fire scene, those tools have to be clean. There have to, it has to be documentation that those tools that they're using were clean. So to rely on fire department tools that potentially could have yesterday's fire on there and possibly some accelerant on those tools would be a disservice to the fire marshal's office. When a tool is used, whatever that tool may be, it has to be cleaned and put back, or it has to be stored in a separate facility to be brought back, to be cleaned, and then put back, because you can't take dirty tools, put them back in your pickup truck, and then expect that you're not going to be bringing potential accelerant evidence into a scene. You know, your boots get washed. With the new cancer bill that came out, I'm sure you guys are all aware, they can't transfer dirty gear in their pickups. Doesn't matter if you're a member of the fire department as a volunteer or paid staff or a fire marshal, that gear can no longer, by next year, be transported. So you either have to get them bags where they can put those intrinsically safe bags, they can put their gear in there, or it has to be stored somewhere that's not inside like an SUV. So I don't think a police SUV is going to be of any help to anybody. I don't think a transit van is going to be of any help to anybody unless they're getting those bags to store that gear.
So it's, you put in for two pickup trucks, but if you get the M37, you don't need the two pickup trucks, you just need the two Ford Explorers.
Yes, because if we're on the scene of an investigation, like the chief said, our gear is going to go in a bag, it's going to go in the investigation truck, and we're going right to a firehouse.
No, I understood. Is the Ford Explorers cheaper than the pickup trucks?
I believe they're... Yeah. But either way, the gear is not going in those vehicles after an investigation. They would go into the investigation vehicle in a bag directly to a firehouse where we would wash our tools, wash our gear.
But if you have the M37, they can go on the M37.
Right. And then we would take them directly to a firehouse, wash our gear, and wash our tools. And we don't have to tie up a fire department.
Have you done any estimation on how much it would cost to modify M37 to meet your needs, if any? I mean,
there's no modification needed. Okay. I can work with it as is. The only modification would be taking Chesterfield Fire Company off the side and putting Town of Montville Fire Marshal's office. That's the only modification.
Okay.
I'm not planning on voting on this tonight myself.
No.
Because we need a lot more information. I'd like to see a more of a financial breakdown on what's going to be required to keep this vehicle as far as maintenance costs goes, as far as insurance, fuel, all that type of stuff, because now we're going to be adding another piece of rolling stock that's going to have to be replaced at some point in time. So I would just like to have a lot more information as far as what it's going to cost us financially to keep this vehicle.
I understand what you're saying, but we already own it.
Already gets regular maintenance.
And if we get rid of it.
I understand going for something new. I totally understand
If we decide to get rid of it, we no longer.
Less than $20,000? Is that what you said, Steve?
Oh, it would
And
probably.
It's going to be picked apart. Mohegan can get the top part, so.
Well, I mean, the one interesting point is that it'd be nice to know what it would take to maintain oil change, fuel, and everything else. Jeez. However, we don't get it on the existing vehicles. We don't get it on any of the police vehicles. So, I mean, as much as nice as it would be, that's Public Works Department responsibility.
And the mayor's just looking for the recommendation.
Yeah, well, relative to the ordinance, which we just got, so we haven't even had a chance to look at that.
That's what his recommendation's on? I mean, he wanted us to do a recommendation on the ordinance, or
no,
he's got the final say on whether
we have an ordinance. The town has an ordinance on, can I have the ordinance?
Disposing of it.
We haven't had a chance to look at it, but it's an ordinance regarding the disposal of surplus personal property. this falls under that. So we need to at least know where we stand as far as getting rid of anything that falls under our purview. So, Mr. Mayor.
One question that I asked, so I had two questions in mind, and that one has already been answered, that it's not going to cost anything to prepare it for the move from Chesterfield Fire Company under your or to you. So the other question I have is, where would you house it?
So right now it would have to be housed outside. I do believe the chief said I could park it in their parking lot, or I park it up here. It would be run once a week. It would be serviced when it was needed to be serviced. And if a housing ever came up for it, it would be moved to that.
I guess the one thing that kind of bothers me, Paul, to be perfectly honest with you, 4 months ago we voted on buying a new truck. And we all knew that the old one was going, we were going to do something with the old truck. And at 3:13 this afternoon, we just get your email about what you'd like to do. I'm not happy about looking at this 2.5 hours before a meeting and get stuck making a decision. Because I've got a list of probably 15 questions on this that I would prefer to email to everyone so they understand what my questions are and we can get answers to before I make a decision on it. Not 15, I got at least 2, 4, 6, 8, yeah, 10, 12.
In my defense, I was off on Friday. I did not look at my email until this morning. I had other obligations to take care of. I wanted to get this out as soon as I can. I apologize for how late it's coming out. It's just a simple request. That's all it is.
Again, when we started this, I said I'm not looking for a decision tonight. Open it for discussion. So we're discussing, and we'll put it on the agenda for next month to make a decision. Again, we've got until July to make a decision or whatever we want to do. Do you have anything else?
No, that's good. I think if the fire marshal could come back next month, we'll have another set of ears here, and hopefully the chair will be back next week also, next month also. You know, reduce it to writing, a proposal, and for usage. And you know, I'm looking for a recommendation. Mm-hmm. You know, either we scrap it or we put it to use. I'm looking for some thoughts on it. That's all.
Guidance.
It's still a good vehicle. I'd like to put it to use.
See with the amount of miles and what he could use it for? Absolutely should. We already own it. We're only going to get $20,000 for it. If he can use it for another 10 or 15 years or 20 years, salute, God bless. It's not running all the time. It's not doing parades anymore.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I just question. Even say you wanted the recommendation, the commission, it doesn't pass to recommend him keeping it. You can still tell him you're keeping it, right?
So to be technically correct here, I have a motion to dispose of existing rescue truck M37, just so we have it on the record as doing something.
I'll make a motion to dispose of the old rescue truck M37 to the fire marshal's office.
I'll second that motion.
All right. Roll call vote. Any more discussion on it?
That's fair.
Roll call vote.
Mr. Perkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
No.
Commissioner Baker?
No.
Commissioner Gillette?
Yes.
So it's a tie vote, it fails, correct?
Sure. Okay. No, it passes on a tie.
No, it fails.
It fails on a tie?
You got to have a majority deciding something for it to pass.
Well, we'll bring it up. We'll bring it up next month. we'll bring it up for discussion next month. All right. Number 14, remarks from the public, 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public, 3-minute limit.
Keith Truex, Chief of the Chesterfield Fire Company. Just like to express my regret that you could not move forward on the fire capital plan. I totally don't understand it. I hope there's a good reason for it. Great way to show your support for the volunteers that come out. Thanks.
Marks from the public, 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public, 3-minute limit. Okay, remarks from the mayor.
I want to start off with congratulating the police department on their successful accreditation to level 3. That's a huge undertaking, and especially to Officer Lindsay Michaels for her dedication and commitment to get that accomplished. It's huge steps in a short amount of time that they've been able to do this. And as I forwarded a remark to them earlier, back in the day when we were working off of department orders, it's like coming from the prehistoric times to the current environment. It's really a great accomplishment. I thank them very much. And also, we initiated the Career Firefighters CBA this past month. Going forward, we have more meetings scheduled. I spoke with Chairman Murphy. He regrets not being able to be here tonight, but he is on the mend. He just needs a little more time. The agreements on the dog animal control services to Basra and Colchester, who was approved by the town council. I'll be getting them out to those towns for signatures this month. As far as the ladder truck, you know, it's a lot of money, but we got to start making plans for that. And I have spoken to Senator Austin to introduce a bill for some funding for that truck. All I got.
Thank you. Remarks from the town council liaison.
Once again, I just appreciate you guys' time. I enjoy hearing from everyone on the commission. And I know it's just a recommendation on M37, but I do appreciate Commissioner Baker and Stewart for wanting to take their time on it. I know you're saying it's just $20,000 that we get from it, but you got to think about what are the costs going to be on it moving forward. You just said it's going to sit outside in a parking lot. So, I mean, just to maintain it, and what's that going to cost? And is it eventually going to require a replacement since you've been using a vehicle like that for so long? Are you going to eventually want to replace it? So I know I'm not faulting Fire Marshal Barnes for submitting it at 3 o'clock, but I think it does require more time and thought than a couple hours. So thank you guys for that.
Thank you. Remarks from commissioners. Commissioner Perkins.
Yes, I do. If the fire chiefs come to this meeting and they request a fire apparatus, they can still, whether it's on the CIP, and that's how I understood it, you can still come here and say, this is what I need, this broke down, because it's not on the CIP, and you get your new vehicle or one of your other vehicles breaks down, doesn't mean we can't address it. So, and to say, we're all volunteers up here, to say that you don't understand we're all volunteers and we're not for the volunteers, I don't find that fair, because I am for the volunteers. I am a volunteer. I just want to say that was great on what the police received from the motorcycle accident. It's positive feedback, and that's definitely what this town needs now. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Commissioner Gillette.
All set.
Mr. Baker.
Yeah, I, as always, would like to thank our public safety team. You guys do a fantastic job out there. It's not an easy job, but I can't thank you enough for what you do. Please keep up the good work, because we certainly appreciate it.
Thank you. Congratulations to the police department on their Tier 3 accreditation. It is a big job. On the press conference that was held last February 26th on the grant for the rural roads, maintaining the speeds and everything. So good job. It's caused me to go a little slower. So I guess that's a good thing. Beyond that, I think about the only other thing between now and our next meeting is Easter. So have a happy Easter, and thanks for all the responders for what you do. Sometimes the decisions we make up here, we are all volunteers, and we do the best we can. So with that, motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Meeting adjourned, 7:02.